For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
This episode and the entire year of episodes is proudly brought to you by California Cryobank. Use code LOVEISLOVE for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Make them babies, y'all, and then tell me about them, because I love that stuff.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
I was in a therapy session. It's very anticlimactic. I'm in a therapy session. And I'm sitting there. Her name is Chastity Angel. Oh, love her.
Your therapist.
That old therapist. Yeah. She ended up moving away. Yes. My therapist. And we're sitting there on Zoom and we've talked through this thing like for the 100th time. I'm sitting in the closet. I have like 2 sound machines on, doors locked. I'm in the closet. Laven, my ex-husband's out there with my kids, watching the kids while I'm just trying to like do this healing work, right? Of like, why am I so sad? I looked at her and I was like, holy shit, Chastity, I'm a lesbian. And I was like, oh my God, she gets emotional. I get emotional. And it was almost like this, you finally got it.
Welcome, 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 y'all, to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. I am your gay host, Jamie, and this is the show that highlights, celebrates, uplifts, and normalizes LGBTQIA+ families in all of our beautiful identities. And y'all, this episode, it is a little tiny bit different from my usual conversations about queer family building, but it is just as important, and I think you will all agree with me there. Today, we're diving into the journey of a late-in-life lesbian. Yeah, an L-I-L, I just learned that term, who had to untangle years of religious trauma to finally embrace her real truth. And let's be real, there are way too many of us out here who know exactly what that feels like. Even if we didn't come out later in life, sometimes we gotta get through some stuff to become our true, authentic selves. And I know, especially lately, I've been talking a lot about how the U.S. is moving in a terrifying direction when it comes to LGBTQIA rights. And religious extremism really does play a massive role in that, y'all. I mean, you just have to look at what's happening in Texas, where Heather, my guest, is from for today, in Florida, in states across the country, and they keep popping up like wildfire. We got book bans. We got bathroom bans. We got attacks on gender-affirming care. It's just, it's never-ending. I have trolls all over social media telling me all kinds of things about the kind of hell I will go to. They just don't stop. And the same systems that made it nearly impossible for Heather to come out until she was 38 are still really actively working to erase us today, sadly. Whew. So in this episode, we're talking about the weight of that trauma and what it takes to finally break free and the absolute joy of realizing, and these are Heather's words, that you never have to be touched by a man again. I guess when you know, huh? Not to hate on the good men of the world, just sometimes you don't want to be in bed with them. That's all. You know, it's raw, it's real, and it's exactly the kind of conversation that reminds us why we have to keep speaking up. And I promise you, I will, even when the trolls attack me like hornets on social media. God, they just don't stop. The things they say are so asinine, too. Like, they're just the dumbest comments, but they really believe them, which is so sad about the state of the world. But we have beautiful people like Heather and beautiful, beautiful heroes who in government who really are fighting the good fight and working for us. And I do believe that good will prevail. I do believe it. I do believe it. I do believe it. I do. That's a movie quote from The Wizard of Oz. I wonder if you know it. All right, let's do this. Let's roll the tape. I'm excited to share this story. I hope all you are staying safe out there in these streets, so to speak. And I'm here for you if you need anything. Well, you know, you can reach out. Email me at thequeerfamilypodcast@gmail.com. I'm here. I love you. Build that community. Be a part of community. We all need each other right now. Okay, Helen, Beulah, my lovely assistants who do not exist, and Gerson, my real editor, who actually does exist and actually does roll the tape. Please roll that tape. Let's go, y'all. Let's go.
Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Hi, Heather.
Hi.
It's lovely to be speaking with you. Where are you coming in from?
I am in Fort Worth, Texas.
Fort Worth, Texas. Whoa.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a story there in some capacity. No matter where you live nowadays, I think there's a story. Let's get into your 30-second elevator pitch. You tell us who you are, why you're here talking to the Queer Fam Squad, and then we'll take it from there. Sound good?
Okay.
Here we go. On your mark. Get set. Go.
Hi, my name is Heather. I am a 40-year-old late-in-life lesbian. I am currently trying to figure out how in the world I got to be the daughter of a gay man, and it took me 38 years to fully call myself a lesbian. So I am on this journey, single momming it, on a spiritual awakening of sorts, just really wanting to share my story and share my dad's story. That's what I'm all about.
Boom. You did it under time. Good job. Yes. I'm impressed. And I want to know what took you so long too.
I know.
Welcome to the team, Heather. I'm so proud you made it over.
Thank you.
It's so much better over here.
I can't tell you the moment I realized that I didn't ever have to be touched by a man again. It was like this liberation. And I was like, holy shit. I didn't realize how much I had been, you know,
disembodied, disassociating with your body.
Yeah. So I know I am very happy to be on the team and be living in my truth.
It's great over here. I love this side. Okay. So let's take it back. Tell me about your dad and the story there, because I know you said it, you've kind of made it your mission to kind of tell your dad's story, and I'd love to hear it.
Oh my God. My dad and I have always had a really special connection. Mm-hmm. And I always felt like we were, you know, one in the same in a way. Like, I just don't know how to explain it. Maybe a lot of father-daughter relationships are like that. I don't know. But really the reason why, I know why I didn't come out until I was 38.
Oh, do tell.
Religious trauma.
Okay.
Religious trauma.
Okay. I had
religious
a feeling trauma. It was going to go there.
But. Oh my gosh. So my dad was, he was the gay son of a pastor in the Bible Belt of Grand Prairie, Texas, specifically. So yeah, so he was born into an incredibly religious family and, you know, Baptist and all of that. And to be gay was, you know, really truly a death sentence in a lot of ways. The gay gene didn't start with us.
With you and your dad? Yeah, right.
No.
It goes back.
No. No, it goes back. And actually, you know, a lot of what I've been healing, I really believe in generational trauma. So my hyper focus over the last, you know, really since I came out, has been to heal that generational trauma for myself and future generations. So anyway, that's a whole other spiritual journey. But my dad and I've had a really close connection. And when I was 2 is when he left. He had to, you know, live in his authenticity. I think that he was 22 when he got married, mm-hmm. you know, like mm-hmm. they were young.
Yeah.
And it was the 80s and he had been, you know, he'd lived a life of, you know, being oppressed for his life. And if you think about it, he gets married for the first time, he moves out for the first time. And it's like, oh, he has this taste of independence. I get it. You know, I get it. Having kids, how hard it is when you have a child that enters the world and then you're really called to kind of like pull deeply from within. And if you don't know yourself, if you haven't done that work, it naturally is going to bring things up no matter who you are.
I think most parents, when they become parents, haven't really figured themselves out yet. But it does make you dig deep, parenthood. It really does.
It does. Yeah.
I just was wondering, had he tried to come out as a youth or did he?
There were a number of things that happened in his youth that things were found out, essentially. Like he'd had relationships, things were found out, and he was shut down, you know, essentially. He wasn't allowed to live in authenticity. It was a very fearful thing. There was a lot of, you know, physical, emotional, verbal stuff behind closed doors that kept him. Like, you threaten connection to family when your family is everything you have, and you're in this, your whole world is, his father was a pastor of a church, my grandfather. Yeah. You don't come out.
It's the abyss. It's the complete unknown. You can't leave it. There's nothing out there. I think we've uncovered what kept him closeted, even though he did try and things were found out, it was quickly shut down and squashed.
Yes.
And so he tried to live a straight and narrow life to keep in his family, to stay with the family.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And so his parents knew, you know, they just thought it was a sin. Current day, I realize I was out. I was out at Sue Ellen's in Dallas at a gay bar. Hell yeah, I was. And just talking about all of this and my dad and his story, I was sitting there, we were talking, I was talking about my life experiences and stuff like that. And one of my friends was like, yeah, you were in a cult. And I was like, I wasn't in a fucking cult. I was in church. I was in church. You know, I was just going to church. And then the more, and that kind of like, there was resistance. And I was like, I wasn't in a cult. The more I learned about cults, I was absolutely in that kind of environment. That's the environment my dad was raised in. That's the environment the vast majority of the people on my dad's side of the family operate within, some level of that mentality.
Still
on my dad's side. And so he was never able, like, to his dying day, I was laying next to him when he passed away, when he took his last breath. I was right there with him, right? Sorry. And so I was up front and center on that man's life. He could never detach from needing to be accepted by his parents.
And they there never was this, did?
No. Like, they not, this is the cult mentality, okay? It is, to your face, I love you with God's love. I accept you for who you are. Love the sinner, not the sin.
Yeah.
There is something inherently wrong with you.
Right.
And so that is he was constantly trying to be this not wrong with him version of himself. He could never pray away the gay. Mm-hmm. He could never make that part of himself silence ever, but he wanted so desperately for that part of him to be not a part of him to his dying day, right? Hmm. Like, he never was in a relationship, like a substantial relationship, after kind of his drug buddy Joey died, after he sobered up and all that kind of stuff. He didn't really have any substantial relationship after that. That was like a true like husband.
Right. And then, you know, the argument that they love to give, that this is a choice. This is your choice. It's not, point to, the man didn't want it. He didn't want it. It was who he was.
He didn't want it. I remember telling him as a young child, like, Dad, you're perfect. Mm-hmm. You're perfect. I knew it from the deepest part of myself, how perfect he was. And I watched him try to change, just wanting that real, like, that real accepting love that doesn't say, I love you, except.
Right.
It is radical love. It is like, I love all of the gross and great parts of you. Mm-hmm. And my dad absolutely experienced that, you know, but from a familial perspective, it's just not something that was ever, except for me. He just reminds, sorry, I have a, like a kind of mediumship connection. So you'll hear me say that I'm also like a psychic medium.
Oh, thing. Oh my God.
So,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, he just kind of came through and was like, you, I experienced that love with aww. You too. And so, cause it was like, I would be blue in the face just trying to tell him how amazing, don't change anything, Dad. You're perfect, you know? And it, that just wasn't ever something he was able to heal.
So what was coming out for him? I mean, I know you can't really speak unless he speaks he, directly to you. Yeah.
Right, like, right.
Yeah.
Well,
which I guess he does. So how was it?
I was going to say, like I said, I can't at first. I think you heard I can. I'm like, I can. Like we have a channel. He's yeah. with me all the time. Right. But I can't, there is a kind of like a boundary that I'm not going to. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like there is a boundary. There's a story that's not mine to tell.
Right.
Except for what I personally witnessed. He was kept from accessing me for a couple of years.
Oh.
And I remember being reunited with him in the hallway of the church, like around 4. And I remember him having to confess in front of the church that he was gay. And that was like a part of, like, I don't know if it was like, okay, you confess and then you have access to your daughter, but it feels really in close relation to me being able to see him again. Like he was willing to kind of like come into the fold a little bit more in order to have access to me is what it feels like. But I also know, I mean, he was partying. Like,
yeah.
I know my first year out, I was out all the time. Like I would visit him. The schedule was every other weekend, but there were definitely, you know, times that he didn't show up when he should have. And I had a deep love for my dad.
Yeah.
And I missed him, you know? And yeah. So there's definitely some father wound stuff around my early childhood with him for sure.
Right, because he wasn't showing up all the time, but there were probably pretty deep reasons for what was happening. And
can you imagine?
No, yeah, I can't. I really can't. I can't imagine yeah. how hard that must have been. And I can't imagine not being able to see my kids. Oh my God. Do you remember your mom throughout it all? Like, was there a conversation at home about it?
I was given an avenue, but then there was a lot of, I was just forced to grow up really early, mm-hmm. really way too early. I was forced to kind of parent my parent and parents sometimes, parent my younger sister, things like that.
Yeah. Well, it was a lot going on.
Yeah.
So, all right. So you go through your life. You're still you're in the church. Like your mom is like still mm-hmm. very fully seeped in the church.
Fully seeped in the church. My stepdad, my sister, we go to the school connected to the church.
Wow. Yeah.
All of it. Like my whole, I do all the sports. I do everything is centered around the church.
It's not the same church your grandfather was pastor at. What? Oh, yes. It is. Oh, whoa. Okay. So it's deep.
Yes.
This runs deep.
Everybody knows that's been there a long time, knows the story of my dad.
Wow.
My grandfather founded the church, I think it was in 79. People know about me and my dad until it kind of grows and then new people come in and they don't know about that my dad's right. gay and that my grandfather's the pastor and stuff. Like, I don't like to talk about that shit.
Right. But do you still go to that church?
Oh, now?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay. Because is it still anti-gay, anti-LGBTQ? Like,
so, oh man, this might be a lot for me to be talk about, but have you heard of, I don't know, you might not have heard, probably not, but it's here in the South. It's called Gateway Church.
I haven't, but I've heard of churches like this. I think I listened to a whole podcast about a church that's trying to take over a town and all this stuff. Yeah.
So that Gateway Church, essentially my grandfather, the original church, Robert Morris, who is the pastor of Gateway Church, who within the past like year and a half was accused of raping a 14-year-old or something like that back, you know, a while back, it was covered up. There's involvement of people that I know that helped to cover that up. Essentially, my grandfather's church is the one that was where Robert Morris was an elder, and they kind of like split ways when my grandfather didn't give him pastorship when he got sick. And then anyway, Gateway is like huge. I mean,
right.
Huge here in Texas. I was in this fishbowl where everybody knew my life.
Yeah.
And around 15, I was just like, fuck all that. Like, I'm not going to this church. I'm not going to church anymore. But I wasn't like overtly, I did this like the way that people get out of cults. You just kind of quiet quit. Huh. You just kind of like little by little remove yourself from that environment by just saying, hey, I don't really, mom, I'm still living at home. I don't really feel like going to church anymore. Is that cool?
Yeah. You quiet quit.
I quite quit. I just kind of like a little bit at a time. And then finally, before anybody knew it, I just completely detached and was out of there.
Wow. Okay. So that's a lot to deal with. And then to reverse all of that, because it's just deep in the foundation of who you are, just that religious stuff. But okay. So then you go on with life. It sounds like your dad did become more of a part of your life. And you did allude to, like, tell me more about that.
So like growing up, school and stuff like that, dad was a part of my life. You know, he ended up, I called him Uncle Gib, came into our life. He was my dad's husband, essentially, but they couldn't get married, right?
Right.
And because he wanted me to be able to talk about Gib, but not, I wouldn't call him his husband. I called him my uncle, right? That was worse, except socially acceptable. My dad and Gib were together until, gosh, I don't know. I have to ask Gib, until I was like 10 or 11. I want to say maybe 12. So a lot of that time was really great. My dad was in a good place, financially stable, and I was in school just doing school things.
What was it like? I mean, when you had Uncle Gib and your mother, you had your mom and your stepdad, like how did they feel about Uncle Gib? Was that ever talked about?
That's the funny thing. My mom loves Gib, loves him to this day, loved him then because Gib was a balance to my dad. When Gib was in his life, my dad was stable.
Right.
He was able to kind of show up for me in the ways that he needed to show up for me at that time, the best he could, right?
Right.
Gib was always a very, very loved individual with my mom and my stepdad. The rest of the family ignored his existence.
So then your dad miraculously gets better and kind of pulls out of it. And then you're having your life this whole time. And did you ever have any inkling that you might possibly have same-sex attraction as well? I'm trying to use the religious way of saying it. Same-sex attraction.
Hell yeah. Same-sex attraction. Oh my God. We like to call it, did I know I was gay, gay, gay? How did I know? How did I know? Okay. The very first time that I had feelings for a girl, I was 15 and I was playing soccer. And I caught feelings for this girl and I got all nervous and I ended up quitting the soccer team because dear God,
can't keep
me away. You know, no. Like it was this, it was that feeling of like, oh my God, I'm going to die. Like
this can't be, this cannot be.
What?
Yeah.
There's no way.
And I know it.
That was the immediate feeling. And I blacked out, you know, date wise, like I'm disassociated, I'm disembodied. I'm not living in my truth, obviously, at that age. Then I get into my 20s, I move out, I'm having my life. I see this person at work that I'm like, and I've always known I'd been like attracted to more mask presenting women. And now that's different. I'm attracted to all women. But back then it was just this, the mask presenting that were the most enticing at the time because they were most similar, right? Mm-hmm. And so I guess, I don't know. I was just like, I am feeling some kind of way.
Yeah.
So we worked together and I came out as I was bi. I wasn't comfortable. So this was in my early 20s, but the reason why I say 38 was because there was still this internal, no, there's no way that there's no way I have cancer. There's no way that this is true about me. I was so separated from self that it didn't feel true.
Right. Well, this can't be because that makes you less than perfect and you can't be less than perfect because you'll be shunned and this can't be.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, it makes sense. Yes. I had the hardest time with it and my family was like totally chill over it, you know, in the end.
But
like, I was afraid, you know, I came out as bi too. I was bi for a very long time. I am not bi. I am not.
Yeah. No. Exactly. And so there was this internal denial. So I was with this girl for a couple of years, incredibly toxic relationship, like Oh, it was so bad. It was so bad for my mentals. And there was a lot of her telling me, you're not really gay. You still like boys. You're not really gay. And I'm like, but I am. I'm just, you know, like, I just was trying to explore this. I was just trying to understand it without judgment. I just didn't know that that existed. I had to judge myself along the way. And so I ended up meeting my ex-husband. We worked together too. My ex-husband, my ex-girlfriend, and my best friend. We all worked together.
Sounds pretty queer to me.
So we all worked together. I met them there. And when I met him, I was like, you're like my brother, you know, like I feel this is great. We get along awesome, you know, just those first couple of years were, you know, from a sexual standpoint, sexuality standpoint, were just fine. I was totally fine.
We'll be right back.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Whew. This conversation sure does make me think about sperm. Not really. No, it doesn't. But I really want to take a second to talk about the sponsor of this episode, California Cryobank, my favorite sperm bank in the whole wide world, and many folks' favorite sperm bank. They are the number one sperm bank in the U.S., and they have been helping and serving the LGBTQIA+ community for over 45 years in building our families. They really do the work. They do show up. What they do for the LGBTQIA community is they offer free vial transfer between partners should you need to switch uteruses somewhere along the way, which is really helpful for us LGBTQIA folks. They also offer a personalized letter if you need it for second parent adoption, which is really important for all of us to get that second parent adoption. Make sure you are buttoned up. And they don't stop there. They also offer free vial storage options with their Family Today and Family Tomorrow programs, which is super cool because sometimes you know you want more babies in the future or you buy a bunch of sperm, but you don't want to ship it all at once. They offer that. Let me explain to you what these programs are because it's pretty cool. So the Family Today program provides 1 year of free storage with the purchase of four or more vials, which most of us are buying at least four or more. So that's awesome. And the Family Tomorrow program provides 3 years of free storage with the purchase of eight or more vials, which I'll tell you what, I bought definitely more than eight vials in my baby making journey, probably double that or more. Not kidding. So California Cryobank is an awesome, awesome choice if you're looking to start your family via donor sperm. What you're going to do is go to cryobank.com. You're going to use code LOVEISLOVE and you're going to get a free level two subscription to their beautiful donor catalog. Go check them out. Get that free level two subscription and then start making the babies, y'all. And then come tell me about them because I love it. I love it all. All right, let's get back to the conversation. I love you guys.
Love is love.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
So you kind of fell into a relationship with him and then ended up getting married. You did what you're supposed to do, basically.
Yeah, we were together for 14 years in total. We were dating for about 8 years, 7 or 8 years. I think it was 8 years we were dating, and then we got married. And then in 2000, I had two miscarriages. And then in 2019, 2020, I had the girls back to back.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it was a lot. And so during that space and time from, you know, dating to getting married, quite honestly, during that space, we started having issues. I started having issues and not talking about it.
Like what issues?
I didn't want to have sex. I didn't want to be touched.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be naked. I really needed to protect my body.
Hmm.
And it just didn't feel like I was using my body in the way that it was designed to be used, is the best way for me to put it. Being disembodied, being disconnected, still being able to feel that feeling, even being disembodied from myself, it was just, so I approached it from a, there's something wrong with me medically. So I started going to all the doctors, hormones, da 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 da, all this stuff. And then once we got married and we started talking about, well, maybe we want to have a kiddo, I had the two miscarriages and was like, oh, hormonally, whammo, that's what's going on. You know, that'll help me want to have sex because I had started this medication to make me horny. That's why we even really were having sex to have kids, you know,
it felt
more like that. I don't know. Did all of the hormone stuff, everything was fine. And I still was having problems. There's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with me is what the narrative was.
Because you didn't want to have sex.
Yeah, because I didn't want to have sex. And then I'm overperforming. I'm the breadwinner. I'm raising kids. I was president and CEO of a construction company here in DFW. Like I'm doing all of these things. And I felt like I was just being a walking apology, you know, like this inner hidden to myself, even part of myself.
And the gay thing never came to mind. Like maybe it's just because I am more attracted to females, or like that never entered your mind?
It would come in and then I'd bat it out. Yeah. I'd be like, I'm bisexual. And I was in a lot of therapy too, by the way. So on top of all the medical stuff, I'm in therapy talking to a therapist about all this. And the dynamics of my relationship started to get really unhealthy. Very, very unhealthy for my mental health, for my kids' mental health. It wasn't a good energy in the house. Wasn't good. So I'm definitely in therapy. I have support and I'm talking about it. And I'm like, no, it was like this. I don't know how to explain it. It was just this. There's no way. No. I just keep batting
it
out.
You bat it away because it can't happen.
No, there's no way. It doesn't feel right.
Besides your dad, was there any other gay representation in your life? It was like all around you? You couldn't do it.
I don't know. I really think it's the disembodiment. Mm-hmm. I think it was the moment. It was almost like there was this veil. There was this blockage. There was something there. I had to see. I'm pretty stubborn. Mm-hmm. So I had to see for a really long period of time the truth before mm-hmm. I believed it.
Yeah.
It's like I really needed to know. I really needed to know, I guess, because I'm literally imploding my life at this point. I had to get so uncomfortable that the discomfort of my current life was more uncomfortable than imploding it.
Right. So what was it? Yeah. So what was the straw that broke the camel's back? Like what made you finally go there or figure it out?
I was in a therapy session. It's very anticlimactic. I'm in a therapy session and I'm sitting there. Her name is Chastity Angel. Oh, love her.
Your therapist.
That old therapist. Yeah. She ended up moving away. Yes. My therapist. And we're sitting there on Zoom and we've talked through this thing like for the 100th time. I'm sitting in the closet. I have like two sound machines on, doors locked. I'm in the closet. Laven, my ex-husband's out there with my kids, watching the kids while I'm just trying to like do this healing work, right? Of like, why am I so sad? I looked at her and I was like, holy shit, Chastity, I'm a lesbian. And I was like, oh my God. She gets emotional. I get emotional. And it was almost like this, you finally got it, mm-hmm. you know, like this kind of like, you finally got it. And it was in that moment that I realized I never had to be touched by a man again.
Right.
Cause I had my marching orders. Like I had my marching orders. Like as soon as I realized that and it clicked, it was time for it to click. I think honestly, it was divine timing for me. I wasn't ready. I believe it's a calling. I believe we're all born perfectly, exactly how we're supposed to be, mm-hmm. called to this, called to be exactly who we are. Yeah. Right. And so I wasn't ready for that yet. I'd been through too much.
Sometimes it's really scary. Sometimes it, depending on your circumstances, it's a really scary thing to do to be authentically yourself. And it sounds like you were dealt a whammy when it came to authenticity. But I remember the moment in my head, it happened in my head. It didn't happen with a therapist, but I had this terrible, terrible crush in college on this girl. One of my best friends, and it was killing me inside, and it was agony, you know, those crushes, and it was terrible. I would like go out on the street hoping she was walking at the same time and I could just run into hey, you know,
like the worst,
so awful. Yep. And I had this like epiphany in my head. My head said to me, Jamie, you're a lesbian. You're just a lesbian. And it was this lift. I've talked about this on the show. It's like it's like a weight lifted from my shoulders. It was a euphoric feeling for a second, for just a second. Then I pushed it right back down and didn't come out for a much longer time. But I had something. It's similar to what you had, like that. Holy shit, I'm a lesbian. And it was enlightening, and it was, and it felt right, and it felt good.
Yes.
And then it didn't feel good again.
I mean, I'm still on that cloud nine, friend. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Well, see, maybe I wasn't ready yet. Like the calling, there it is. I wasn't ready for my calling yet. I needed to give it some more time and be bi for a while.
That's right.
Okay. So then, okay, your husband's right outside the closet. You were literally in a closet.
I was in our closet, our shared closet. It was a walk-in closet. I had no space.
So you had to come out of that closet, both figuratively and physically, and figure out how you're going to... You have two children now and a husband. So what happened?
Yeah, so they were 2.5 and 3.5
Oof.
At the time, right? Mm-hmm. It was so hard for all of us.
Yeah.
Like, just, I mean, aside from the gay thing, like, you know, postpartum is real for dudes. Like, it's real. Mm-hmm. It's, and for me, I mean, yes, obviously, but like postpartum for him as well, I can say that it was just a really hard time with young kids.
Sure.
And there were no resources really for him. Mm-hmm. For me, I really had to work to be able to like take advantage of those resources. So
yeah,
anyway,
right, totally.
But like the therapy. So I'm in the closet. Yeah.
So amazing. I mean, it's just a good image. So then what did you do? Did you tell right away? What'd you do?
No. So I walked out. No. We must not be rash.
Yeah.
We've only had 38 years to get here. So I walk out and okay, I'm like, all right, just to make sure that I am like for sure. I gave it about a month to process because it really takes me a long time to process stuff and I normally try to rush it. And so I processed and I really felt just 100% like, yeah, this is where it is. This is the truth. And I need to, it was at that point, it was like, I was ready to know the truth and I was ready to share the truth with him. So in August of 23, we were sitting on the back porch, probably a little stoned and drunk, I'm sure.
As you do.
As one does at the end of a long day with babies. And oh my gosh. And so we're sitting out there and we'd made this tradition of like, I would go out and smoke a Black and Mild and we'd just sit and talk and drink wine and stuff. And I just was like, so maybe I never want to have sex with a dude again or something like that. Oh, like I blacked out. Like, I don't remember exactly what I said. I just would know that whatever I said was like, I'm a lesbian and I don't ever want to have, you know, like it was something along those lines.
You
I
did
just,
it.
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was received.
and it message was received. And there was a lot of, for about a year, we went back and forth with maybe we would want to have an open relationship. And I was like, I can't do that because I will make the woman number one.
Right.
Like it was this like, it was this like back and forth and back and forth and back and forth of me trying to decide, am I going to waffle on this? Am I going to disembody again?
Right.
Am I going to release who I am to keep this relationship alive? And it just, I couldn't have, like, there's no way. So it was just, it was about a year of processing. And there was a certain point on a certain day that I accidentally wore these overalls that I, unbeknownst to me, I got these overalls from Target that were green and they were amazing. And it said all day, every day up here on the lapel and on the back in big letters, it said gay,
oops.
But I didn't know that it said gay on the back.
Oh my gosh.
And so I wear them to work and I am loving my outfit. All of my people know that I've come out to him. All okay. You know, everybody knows the situation. Like I've told my people over the course of the year, like what's going on. And I come home from work and he was like, so I guess everybody knows now.
Ooh.
And I was like, what are you talking about?
It was totally a mistake. I promise.
And I was like, oh, I didn't know, but I love it. You know, like I would have still worn them, you know, but I didn't know. I might have taken them off before he got home. So that was really the tipping point for me. And then about a year after that, so it was just this last year, it was in January of 2024 that I got my own place and our divorce was final in March of 2024.
So it sounds like it was hard for him. Like this was a bit of a shock and he didn't want it. I mean, like obviously, but.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he really didn't want the divorce at all. You know, I think because we really truly were best friends. You know, up until having kids, we were great teammates. Once mm-hmm. we had kids, it just wasn't what it was before, you know, like as far as like the friendship is concerned. Yeah. So
it's tough.
I know.
Yeah. So it finally happened. You got divorced, moved out, did the whole thing. And then you're co-parenting. Like what was the co-parent? He didn't try to like keep the kids from you or anything, right?
Oh God, no. So this is the beautiful thing. Yeah. Like, no, he didn't try to keep the kids from me, you know. The best friendship is still there.
That's good.
We, oh my gosh, absolutely. Definitely with boundaries because mm-hmm. I still am doing work to not parent other people
uh-huh.
that are significant in my life. And so I've had to like really make some adjustments. Anyway, so like the first, it was really hard when I first moved out and there's still to this day, a lot of, I feel like, blame, a lot of kind of, I mean, resentment, unprocessed resentment and stuff like that, that I'm just okay with existing, you know, like it's okay that exists. I understand that's a reflection of the work that you need to do to know that you didn't want to stay married to a woman that didn't want to have sex with you.
Right. Life's going to be better. Life is going to be better.
You deserve so much more than that.
Yeah.
I love you, though. I think it's the friendship that was really the hardest to detach from because there was a lot of codependency there.
Right.
We, you know, went our separate ways. The first year was really, really, really hard, especially like, yeah, it's hard on him because he's having to take on more responsibility. But the emotional processing for the person that's having to actually go, no, you have to step up and do this now.
Mm.
Sorry, I'm gay, but... Now you should have been doing this even when we were parenting together. Under the same roof.
Right.
And it just wasn't happening. Honestly, the last couple of months have been really fantastic, especially the last couple of months. We moved to a 1 week on, 1 week off schedule, and I love it.
That's good.
So,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you're figuring it out and the kids are young. So I don't know how much they know about, you know, mommy is gay now.
I mean, it just kind of naturally comes up. Obviously, I have like booby pictures in my house. I try to like,
don't we
really
all?
Be
I don't know. Doesn't everyone?
They should. Body positive. I have eating disorder background stuff. So I talk about that kind of stuff with them. I've talked about sexuality. That was something I was always, you know, boys can wear dresses. Right. Girls look like boys.
That hasn't changed. You've always been body positive. You've always been, you've always been parenting in that way. In that, I'm going to do quote, in that woke way.
Yeah.
Quote unquote. I'm wearing my woke shirt right now.
So. Ooh, I love it.
Yeah. Because I'm woke as fuck. But in all the good ways. But you've always been parenting from a quote unquote woke perspective. So that hasn't changed. It's just now mommy is going to be maybe having a girlfriend at some point. Does mommy have a girlfriend? Are you dating? Like, what's going on? How's it going?
I'm dating.
Welcome to the world, baby girl. What's going on?
I don't know how much I want to talk about. You don't have to. You know how it is. But I am. They have seen me be affectionate with a woman.
Okay.
They've seen, and we just kind of, it's been such a part of conversation about being gay or about not even calling it gay, like even like labeling stuff. It's more about boys and boys, girls and girls. And hey, some people don't want to be called a boy or a girl. Like not everybody, for me, gender is becoming super outdated in general. Like we're all some, this might be inflammatory, so please forgive me if this triggers you. But I feel like we are on all some level of pansexuality on some level, right? Like there might be some person on this earth that has a dick that I might be attracted to and want to sleep with.
Why not?
I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't know. There's a lot of people in this world, right? I choose to identify as a lesbian to kind of like, I got it tattooed on my hand.
Wow.
To kind
of, okay, you went there. Okay.
Yes, I did. So, I mean, I'm taking ownership of this word that I wasn't allowed to live by just because I want to. Mm-hmm. Does not mean that other women who are like me have to identify this way. And so that's been a part of the conversation with my kids since super young. She saw me kiss somebody and my oldest daughter, and she like looked at me and she just like stared. And I looked at her and I was like, do you have any questions? Like,
you know, right.
Like I was just looking at her with this, like, you know, like you can talk to me. Type of thing.
Right. You just have to be open and kids get it. But also she probably hasn't really seen you kiss anyone. So it's not just the girl thing, you know, it's not like you were that intimate with her dad. So
you're not wrong. I don't know that she probably remembers ever seeing, I mean, hugging, but I don't know that she remembers seeing us kiss. Certainly not Lumi. That would be my younger one, Lumi. Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't think about it like that.
Right. So, you know, intimacy on any level.
Anyway, so I'm dating a singular person.
Okay. Congrats.
I'm dating one person. Yeah. Right. But we're still kind of like at that dating phase and I'm still doing a lot of healing. They're doing a lot of healing and, you know, just kind of taking it as it comes, like going with the flow.
That's the best you can do. You just have to.
I got a hot.
Because we're talking about the intimate stuff.
Yeah.
No, it's good. Good for you. And you take it one day at a time and you have kids, right? So it does make it more complicated because you're a mom too. So.
Oh, that's hard. Yeah.
You take it one day at a time, but I think it's amazing. And I'm so happy you found yourself.
Me too.
Welcome to the better side. I just keep saying it.
It's great over here.
It sure is. The weather is fine. But is there anything else you wanted to share about your story in particular?
Yeah. Particularly the spiritual journey aspect and the calling of what it is. Not that you're called to be gay, therefore you are gay. I think that we are gay and as such, we are called, right? Mm. As such, we are called to radically love ourselves, fall in love with ourselves, and that's where we'll find our power. I am telling you, the more I've stepped into my authenticity, the more I've fallen in love with myself. Mm-hmm. I don't like that whole, you got to love yourself before you can love someone else. But I really hate that it's true. I just don't like the way that it's said. You got to love yourself to love somebody else. I remember hearing that all of my life because I just wanted love. It was transactional, you know, I wanted it from other people in order to feel it myself. And I had this shifting point of realizing that the love was within me. Any energy that I feel, any feelings that I feel are feelings that I have power to create. I have power to transmute and alchemize into something else if it's a negative energy. And so when I realized, oh my gosh, the love is within me, it opened the door to me being able to turn that love inward on a constant drip, right? On a constant river within myself to, you know, overflow my cup. It's just taken a lot to get that cup full because I'm exhausted.
Right. Well, you had a long ways to go.
Yeah. And the world at large right now in general and everything that's happening and the young kids and all of it. It's just, it's more than what I think anybody should have to be.
Right. But I do like this idea of, you know, gay as a higher calling.
It is.
A higher purpose.
We have access to more authenticity. Like, if you think about the fact that love is the highest frequency, this is something I believe, just depends on what other, you know, hear me out. Love is the highest frequency. If you are able to be authentic, authenticity is right up there, and exude that love, radically love the people in your world and your life with that authentic love, not the fake shit, not the stuff where it's like here in the South, you know, bless your heart, that whole, you know, but real love, really feeling into somebody's energy, really giving them that sensation or trying to share that with them, you can change the world. And the only way to it's authentic love, authentic love, right? And so we live in that authenticity.
We have
There's a radical authenticity we're forced to.
And we have to push through a lot to get there. So much. It sets us up. Yeah, I see what you're throwing down. And I like it. I like us having a higher calling.
That's the calling. It is the calling. We have the ability to love more effectively because we have access to that authenticity. And it's something, it's a superpower. It really is a superpower. And I think that more of us gays need to hear that. Need to realize that your love is more potent. And then the other thing is the love that I witnessed between Gib and my dad. That was one of the things that I saw early on that let me know what being gay was good. Like I had that dual experience, obviously the religious trauma and all of that, gay is bad, you're going to hell. But then this whole other side of awe, of witnessing love in real time. And I went back home to the religious side of the majority of my life. Right. And I didn't see that kind of love in the wild. I didn't see that in my reality. I didn't feel it. And there was there was actual physical abuse and sexual abuse happening on this other side. So I just had all of these mixed messages in my, you know, deep subconscious, my little inner child believed all of these different things. But the love that I saw between my dad and Gib was life-changing. It's that memory that I held on to all these years that I was able to pull myself to my authenticity, right? Finally.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy that it can be so hard for so many of us.
The other thing, the project that I'm working on right now, my good friend and I are starting a podcast called Cozy Betches. And so every time you say betches, a gay man gets his wings.
You got to have a bell to go with it every time somebody says betches. I love that.
So taking ownership of that word. But we're doing that to talk about healing, to talk about all of the kind of like fun stuff, bad stuff, to create a place where I can talk about heavy traumatic shit 1 minute and then, you know, the next be talking about something more lighthearted and like friendship related. We talk really, that kind of thing.
Anyway, this has been a pleasure. This has been a joy.
Same.
I wish you all the best on the gay planet.
Thank you.
And yeah, keep me posted on the podcast and let me know when it comes out and when you're doing it all.
I will.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
This was great.
Queer Family Podcast.
A huge, huge thank you once again to California Cryobank for sponsoring this here little show for an entire year of episodes. Go to cryobank.com, use code LOVEISLOVE, and get a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Go do it. Let's make those babies and uplift these queer families, y'all. Thank you.
Love is love.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier, you're going to join, and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Mwah.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone. Which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.